So we're going to look at Psalm 119 today. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 119. And we're going to be looking at verses 153 to 160. That's Psalm 119, verses 153 to 160. It's page 61 in my Bible as well. So that's all right then. Okay, so Psalm 119, it's a very ordered psalm. It has 176 verses. It's divided into 22 sections, 22 stanzas. And each section contains 8 verses. And each section is headed up by one of the characters of the Hebrew alphabet, as you notice. So in our section we're looking at today, from verse 153, is headed up by the Hebrew character resh. And the theme of Psalm 119 is to elevate the word of God. Even from, if you look at verse 1 from Psalm 119, it says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the word of God." Throughout the psalm, it says, "Open up my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." And that well-known verse from verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So Psalm 119 is about elevating, upholding the word of God. And that's what we want to see as we look at our verses today. Verses 153 to 160, and I'll read it now. From verse 153. "Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look upon the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal." We live in a world today where God's word is rejected. What God's word tells us about creation, marriage, relationships, gender has been thrown out the window. If you believe God's word, if we are Bible-believing Christians, then we are very much in a minority. At my home church, during our afternoon services, we are praying for the world and getting feedback from various mission partners in other countries. A couple of weeks ago, we had feedback from one of our members who went on a missionary trip to Japan for a couple of weeks. The population of Japan is 123 million. Estimated number of Bible-believing Christians, 0.5%. That's 1 in 200. Last week we heard from a mission partner in Serbia, population 7 million, estimated number of Bible-believing Christians, 0.6%. In the coming weeks we hear from another mission partner in Italy, population 59 million, estimated number of Bible-believing Christians, 1.1%. And so the Christian life is not easy, it's not popular, it brings us into conflict with the world. Believers in God's word invite persecution. And that's a silent truth, isn't it? It's a silent because we really hear about it in the news. We really hear about Christians being persecuted. You have to look for it to find it. And that's why we're grateful to organizations such as Open Doors. They keep us informed about Christians who are persecuted around the world, who face jail sentences, even death. And every day there is a pressure to conform to the world and not to live according to God's word. And let's face it, it can be very draining at times. Now, we've all experienced having a plant, be it a plant in a pot in our house or in the garden, and it's shriveled up a little bit. And what do? We give it some water so that it revives, so that it flourishes. And as Christians, we need to be revived. We need to flourish. We need to be renewed. Otherwise, our lives will be squeezed out in this world. We all know how easy it is to grow a bit stale in our walk with God. And when we are suffering, it's a real struggle to carry on. Well, how do we get renewed? Well, in our passage today, the psalmist tells us how. What's his situation? If you look at verse 153, you see that he's suffering. Look upon my suffering and deliver me. He's suffering. He needs help in 154. Defend my cause and redeem me. He has many enemies in 157. Many are the foes who persecute me. He lives in a toxic environment. 158. I look upon the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. 158, that verse reminds me of Lot, who was a nephew of Abraham. We read in 2 Peter that Lot was a righteous man and he was distressed by the filthy lives of the lawless. For that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. And the psalmist is in a similar situation. He's living amongst the faithless, he's living amongst the lawless, and he can't stand it. Now, if you notice, our passage starts off with a cry and ends with a calm. Look upon my suffering and deliver me. That's the cry. But then it ends in calm. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. So what's happened in between? What's happened between the cry and the calm? I believe it's renewal. And that's the aim for us today, that we would cry out in our sufferings to God, and it's right to do so. But at the end of our cries, there will be a calm as God renews us, even in the midst of sufferings. Now, the repeated words in his psalm are, preserve my life. Verse 154, preserve my life according to your promise. 156, preserve my life according to your laws. 159, preserve my life according to your love. Other versions of the Bible may say, give me life, or the King James Version says, quicken my life. It's not a word that we use today, but it essentially means to stimulate, to revive, renewal. And where does the renewal begin? It begins with the word of God and us holding on to it and crying out to him. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, the psalmist says, for I have not forgotten your law. And when the psalmist says, look, he's not implying that God doesn't see. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing. When he cries to God and says, look, he's basically saying, God, act. I'm suffering, act. The psalmist is appealing to God to act and relieve his suffering. I have not forgotten your law, he says. Now, when in the Bible it says about people forgetting the law, it's not because they've had a memory lapse, it's because they've rejected God's word. But the psalmist has not forgotten, he has not rejected God's word, he holds tight to it. And so he has a good basis for prayer. And that's just how we want to pray. We want to pray according to God's will by holding on to his words. Now, there are three truths in this passage that will enable us to cry out to God in our sufferings, be renewed, and in calmness, continue to live God's way in this hostile world. So, 3 points I want to highlight. Firstly, God will defend and deliver. What the psalmist cries out for will happen because God has promised it. Preserve my life according to your promise. God will deliver on his promise. Why? Because he has the power to do so. Right now there's a war in Ukraine. It's been going on for over a year now. The Russians have invaded, and they had their reasons for doing so. We won't have a political debate. But NATO and other countries, Britain, including us, Britain ourselves, we want to help and give some support to Russia. President Zelensky daily appeals for support. He wants firepower on the air and the ground. He would love foreign armies to join his Ukrainian army and drive the Russians out. But despite support from other countries as well as ourselves, it has not yet happened. There is no guarantee that it will happen, because more aggression and things could literally go nuclear. But with God, we must remember that he is the superpower, more powerful than any army, than any country. Jesus says in the parable of the persistent widow, "Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" God will defend. God will deliver. He promised to do so. So in our sufferings, we must not withdraw into ourselves. We must cry out to God. Flares are used to rescue people. They're ones that you can fire up into the sky and it can be seen for miles, alerting other people that you are in distress. Or they're ones you can hold and light up in your hand so that rescue aircraft can see you from a distance. I doubt whether many of us at home have a flare or have even used one. But then again, we do. The word of God is our flare, and our cries to God light it up. No matter what our sufferings are, and no matter what situation we are that may be seemingly impossible to rescue from, God has promised to deliver us. Now we may object and say, "Well, that I don't think that's true. I can't see that happening in my life." Day after day, year after year, my sufferings are still the same. They've not gone away. Will God really come quickly and deliver me from my sufferings? That's simply not true. If you say that and you're in that situation, I think God will answer you and say, "Have you been holding on to my word? Have you been crying out to me day after day?" Because as we daily cry out to God for deliverance, we are shifted onto a very different timescale. We are shifted onto a different horizon. Like the Apostle Paul, we will say, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And this is the key. Eternal glory outweighs our present sufferings. When Jesus says he'll come quickly, he will. We need to have that eternal perspective. Some of you here would have known my mother. She passed away in December 2021. Before she passed away, the last few years of her life, I used to take her for a walk on my day off in the town park in Enfield. And in our conversations, she'd always say with a smile, "The Master will soon come." She would always say it, and those words will always be in my head. The Master will soon come. Now she's in glory, and I don't think she'd be saying to God, "What took you so long?" He will deliver. He does deliver. He will deliver all God's people when Christ returns. But while we wait for his return, we know they are daily deliverances. The Apostle Paul was able to say, God has delivered me from deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. There are daily deliverances, and there's the ultimate deliverance when Jesus comes again. And Jesus is our ultimate example. He was a man of sorrows familiar with suffering. And during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He did die on a cross, but God raised him from the dead and he ascended into heaven. He's now by his Father's side with all powers and authorities in submission to him. And we are in Christ. We are in Christ and we will be delivered from all our sufferings. When Jesus comes again from heaven with the holy angels, no earthly power will be able to stand against him. And he will deliver all his people. The Master will soon come. God has promised. So that should renew us. When we know that something is definitely going to happen, it should renew us in the present. It should renew us in our sufferings. Jesus is coming. And he does help us daily. There are daily deliverances. Every day we can go home and say, thank you, God. And that will renew us. That will refresh us to keep going and to keep living God's way. So we are renewed because God will defend and deliver us. Secondly, we are renewed because of God's judgment and compassion. If you look at verse 156, preserve my life according to your laws. The law of God is the word of God. And for the psalmist, it would have chiefly been in the Old Testament law, it would have been the Ten Commandments. God's law was God's way for his people. After he rescued his people out of Egypt, he gave them his laws for living as God's distinct chosen people. And that helps us to get the order right. The law cannot save us. The law shows us how to live as God's saved people, because it was after God's people was rescued. They were already saved. Then they were given the law. On the other hand, the law is not an optional extra. It's not a case of we've been saved so we can live anyhow. If you look at verse 155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. That should renew us. Not that we delight in people going to hell. The Bible says that God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But we are renewed by the fact that there is a clear way of living for God's people. And anyone who thinks differently will be judged and will not be saved. As God's word is rejected by the world and even compromised in many people in God's church, we must continue to live God's way. Verse 157 says, many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. We are to live as strangers in this earth, in this world. We are to be peculiar people. And more each day, our lives are at odds with the world around us. But we must not conform, but we must continue to live God's way. We must pray for our young people. And look at the world they are living in today. Look at the pressures that they're living under. Look at what they're told to accept. Even for my own children, which I spoke to you about, some of the things they're taught at school, when they get home, we have to reteach them from God's word. We must not be embarrassed to live God's way. Be renewed, because God makes it very clear that living any other way is to be far from God. And you cannot be saved. God will judge the wicked, and while we do not delight in those who perish, we do delight in the justice of God. and we also renewed because of God's compassion. Verse 1, 5, 6, your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your promise. See, the law was always about judgments and compassion. There's a clear way to live, but fall short of it, and you will not be saved. But there's a big problem, because we've all fallen short of it, haven't we? We've all sinned and fallen short of God's law. And that's why at the very heart of God's law is sacrifice. And the Old Testament is full of sacrificial provisions for God's people. Because as much as we seek to obey, we fail to obey. And sometimes we go far astray from God. But we are renewed because of God's compassion. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And in our sufferings, because of persecution or simply because we have gone astray from God, we can rely on his compassion, because he will renew us. He has provided a sacrifice for us. Because the law points to Jesus, and he has sacrificed for our sins. His blood washes away our guilt. There is forgiveness every day. There is renewal every day. So we are renewed because God promises to defend and deliver us. We are renewed because of God's judgment and compassion. And lastly, we are renewed because God loves us. Verse 1, 5, 9. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love. It's saving the best till last. Nothing is going to renew us more than the fact that God loves us. Nothing is going to challenge that fact more than suffering and persecution. For the psalmist, he could look back at Old Testament history and God's dealings with his people, particularly the Exodus, and see that, yes, God loves us. But we now have both Old Testament and new, and we are in a better position to know and to see and to experience God's love for us. All the scriptures point to Jesus, and as we look at his life, surely we can say that God loves us. If we look at how he suffered and died in obedience to God the Father. On the cross, he faced God's wrath for our sins, for our disobedience. It was the greatest mission on earth, and he completed it. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Surely, God's love shown to us in Jesus will renew us each day, even in the midst of suffering. It renews us so that we love God's word. The psalmist says, see how I love your precepts. See how I love your word. And that's where we want to be, isn't it? Do we love God's word? Do we love God's word with a passion because he loves us? The psalmist calls God Lord in verse 1, 5, 6. Your passion is great. Compassion is great, O Lord. He calls him Lord in verse 159. Oh, see how I love your precepts, preserve my life, O Lord. Lord speaks of a personal relationship with God. It means that he has authority and power over our lives, and we submit our lives to him. And so his word is not a set of rules for us to live by. It's not just a simple book of instruction. It's God's personal dealings with his people. It's why we have a relationship with him, a relationship built on his love. And as much as we love God's word, we likewise loathe the lifestyle of disobedience to God's word. In verse 158, I look upon the faithless with loathing, for they did not obey your word. It's a double passion. We love God, we love his word, but we also loathe the lifestyle that lives in disobedience to God's word. Now, have you not experienced it? Have you not been in an environment where it's so godless that you can't stand it? God gives us that passion because we love him, and any other way of living is an offense to God, and therefore an offense to us. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven. What did God say? He said, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." But then what happened? The Holy Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted by the devil. The fact that he then lived a life of suffering and spent lonely nights in remote places didn't alter the fact that he was loved by God. And he loved the Father and loved his word and came to fulfill God's word. And he resolutely headed to Jerusalem and to the cross. God's love renewed him each day, even though he was a man of sorrows, a man of suffering. God said, and he knew that he loved his son. And we are in Christ, and God loves us to be renewed each day, even in our sufferings. So that is what we want. When we're suffering, we want to cry out to God and be renewed. And we want to continue in him. And we are renewed as we know God as our defender. We are renewed as God delivers us daily, and ultimately he will deliver us when Christ comes again. We are renewed because of God's compassion for us, that he will judge the wicked. And ultimately we are renewed because God loves us. So as we head out into a new week, whatever environment we head out into as Bible-believing Christians, it is highly likely that we will be in the minority. You will be the only Christian amongst the people you have to be around. And it could be your work environment. It could be a social engagement. It could even be in your own home. You will desire to live God's way, and you may suffer ridicule at times. And your passion is stirred because of the lifestyle of the faithless. What are you going to do in that situation? Well, at the start of the day and throughout the day, we are to seek renewal. We are to raise that flare. We are to light it and cry out to God. And he will defend and deliver us. He will be compassionate when we fail. And he will never take his love away from us. Jesus says he will never leave us nor forsake us. What he has done for his people in the past, he will do so in the future. All his words are true. All his righteous laws are eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we pray that you would renew us each day as we seek to live your way in this world. Help us to live out the gospel in such a way that those who are far are drawn near to you and will be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.